I want to ask you to turn your Bible this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Psalms, chapter 103. And this is July the 5th, I think. Fourth yesterday. Just lest we forget, on July the 4th, 1776, the Second Continental Congress declared the 13 American colonies free and independent of Great Britain. The Declaration of Independence is the only major national document of the United States that actually mentions the name of God. He's called nature's God, the Creator, the Supreme Judge of the world. The fathers of our American freedom recognize that God's hand was at work in the affairs of a new nation. We're a blessed people today. Thank you, Lord, that we live in the United States of America. God has so blessed us. Amen. Let's notice the Word of God, Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Father, I pray for your blessing on the ministry of the Word of God today, that you would touch and encourage and strengthen each of us in the faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to talk to you about the faithfulness of God. And I'm sure that if you've looked at the scripture there, you can figure out pretty quick where I'm going with this. Amen. A number of benefits of being a child of God are mentioned here. You know, forgiveness of sins, healing of diseases, redeeming your life. And so I want to talk about that for a few minutes today. God is faithful. And today we celebrate our freedom as a nation, a freedom that was paid for by countless soldiers who fought to the death on the battlefield in various wars that we've been in, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and other Middle East wars. And so that freedom that we have today, you know, is bought, that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because people gave their lives for it and fought to the death, shedding their blood for our freedom. I thank God for that. However, there is a greater price paid for our freedom, spiritual freedom. And God has gave his Son to deliver us from the enemy of sin and give us freedom from sin, death, and hell. God gave us freedom to have eternal fellowship with him instead of eternal separation from him. And that is a gift of God. Amen. It's not something we earn. There have been countless sermons preached on it. But when you think about it, grace of God is God's gift to us. We didn't earn anything. God gave it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. And so a greater price was that Christ, the Son of God, became obedient to his Father's will continually until he could say on the cross, "It is finished," meaning the plan of redemption was absolutely complete and that whosoever will could be saved. Amen. And so since man's fall in the Garden of Eden, the curse of sin, sickness, and death has been upon the human race, entire human race. But God has provided the means of victory over the consequences of this curse. And our salvation was paid for with blood. The blood of Jesus, the only blood that could atone for sin. Amen. There's the only blood that was sinless is the blood of Christ. Praise God. And so God has always been faithful to forgive, to heal, and to restore to all who call upon him. Graciously, God has shown his great love and mercy to fallen mankind when they call upon him. In the same chapter that I read there, the first five verses, let's look at verses 8 through 11 of the same chapter, Psalms 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. What wonderful revelation of who God is there. Amen. The faithfulness of God. Let's look first of all that God is faithful to forgive. I know that's basic theology. That's okay. Amen. But God is faithful to forgive. But there is no forgiveness without Christ. In the book of Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And so we know that the last altar that there was the cross, and that's where the Lamb of God, the perfect, pure, sinless Lamb of God, poured out His soul into death on Calvary, and that fulfilled all of the types and shadows of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, and that was the last cross, or the last altar really to be offered upon. Christ was offered upon that altar. In Hebrews 9:22 it says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission, no forgiveness of sins." But God is faithful to forgive us, even though God never is ever obligated to forgive us of one thing, yet God chose to forgive us because He loves us when we call upon Him. And Psalms 103 is a psalm of David. And I don't want to point out just David's faults here, but I'm going to for this one illustration here. And we've all read the story of David and Bathsheba, how that he sinned and took another man's wife for his own wife, and how that he broke the commandments. And David broke a lot of commandments when he yielded to Bathsheba, or yielded to her, she yielded to him. I don't know. I guess they were both guilty anyway. David broke the commandments. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." He committed adultery with Bathsheba. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And David sent word with Uriah the Hittite back to Joab, the commander of the army, and said, "You put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle and see that he's killed in battle." And that was Bathsheba's husband. And so David committed murder. He bore false witness. And so he broke the commandments of God. And we say, well, everything's all right because God forgave him. Yes, God did forgive him. However, the prophet Nathan came to him and said, "What you've done is wrong. And yes, God has forgiven you, but the sword will never depart from your house." And I want to tell you, from that point on, David had family problems. Absalom, his son, tried to take his kingdom from him, tried to have him killed. And so it was an awful thing that David did, and yet God forgave him, and God was faithful to forgive him, and regardless of the depths of his sin, it was wrong, and it was terrible. But yet God chose to forgive him. And God chose to forgive you. God chose to forgive me. We may not have done exactly what David did, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and God is offended by sin, regardless if it's a big sin or a small sin. Sin is sin in the sight of God. Yet God, in His mercy, because He loves you and I, He grants forgiveness of sins. Initially, at conversion, we're forgiven of our sins, all of our past, things that we've done in the past. Our slate is wiped clean, if you want to look at it that way. And God erases your sins initially when you're saved. And the Bible says, 1 John 1 and 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And God is continually faithful to convict us by His Holy Spirit. There's something that we need to be thankful for, and that is the Holy Spirit pricks our heart and convicts us, make us know when we've failed God, we've done something that God didn't like. God's not picking on you. God's being merciful to you and I to convict us of our sins so we will repent and be forgiven so we can continue on. So God has provided, and God is faithful to forgive, and God's Holy Spirit is faithful to convict us, and so we can be restored to fellowship with Him. Amen. If we look at this in a very strong biblical sense here, we'll find that Peter, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, when it came to saying that he would die with Christ, and Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "Oh no, I'll die if I have to die for you." But we know that three different times there in Jesus' trial, Peter even got to the place where he cursed and even denied that he knew who Jesus was. You say, well, how could God forgive something like that? Well, I want to tell you that God is merciful and God is faithful to forgive. And he showed it in this time. The disciples were gathered on the Sea of Galilee. They got, you know, Jesus had died and they hadn't had a full revelation of his resurrection. But they went fishing, and that's what men do when they can't think of anything else to do. They go fishing. And on this sea there, on the bank, as Jesus cooked bread and fish, Peter would be restored to God. And God asked Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? More than all these fish? More than all of this fishing for a living? All this kind of stuff you were doing? And three times God deals with Peter, or Jesus deals with Peter here. And finally, Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you more than anything. I'll follow you everywhere you go. I'll do anything. And so God restored Peter. God forgave him. Jesus forgave him when he had denied that he even knew who he was. That is forgiveness that's beyond. Amen. It takes God to do that kind of forgiveness. And so later, just shortly there, Peter would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he would stand on the day of Pentecost, and he would preach the cross and the blood. He'd preach everything he denied. He'd preach the cross, the blood, the forgiveness of sins, and 3,000 souls would be saved, born into the kingdom of God. That's how God can change a person's life. God was faithful to forgive, and still is today. Man, we sometimes are not as willing to forgive others as we expect God to forgive us. You know that? You know, we say, you know, you slip and mess up, or you say a bad word, or you say something to somebody you shouldn't have said, and, oh, God, forgive me. We expect God to forgive us instantly. And he does. But when somebody else has done us wrong, it's not near as easy to say, I forgive you. Because we want them to think about it and pay for it a little bit, don't we? And we want to feel really bad about it. But you see, God is willing to forgive us immediately because that's the kind of God that he is. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God requires us to be forgiving also. Because you see, that's the plan of God. Not only that we be saved, but that we be conformed to the image of Christ. He wants us to be more Christ-like as we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. So that's what God requires. So God is faithful to forgive. I'm glad he is. But just think of God's forgiveness. Here in Psalms 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. My friend, when God forgives you, he erases your past. And God does not hold past sins against you any longer. He's not waiting around like us and say, well, I'm going to call this up again one day when the time's right. No, God doesn't do that. He forgives us. Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it says, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Aren't you glad that God forgives and cleanses and purges and purifies us from our sins? God is faithful to forgive. Not only is God faithful to forgive, but also God is faithful to heal. Right here in our text, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Okay? So healing is something that God does, and there's been many misuses of the word of the healing power of God, and I heard of one here a while back, and quite a while back, there's a fake healing evangelist around. There's some out there. And he was measuring people's legs, trying to make them, you know, one leg grow to the same length as the other leg was. And a little guy came up, was about 5 foot tall. And the evangelist said, which leg do you want lengthened? He said, I want both of them lengthened. Well, it didn't work. But, you know, God is still, regardless of what has been done, God is still faithful to heal people. And there are testimonies in this room right here where God has done miraculous deliverance and healing in your life. Amen. And so God does this. God heals all of sin's diseases as well. Sin is like a cancer, and it wishes to contaminate your whole being. And sin is never satisfied no matter how much you sin. And so God is faithful to heal not only physical, but emotional, spiritual, whatever kind of healing you need, our God is able to heal. He heals all of our diseases. And if we look at this, at the word, at the disease, it's mentioned in Scripture many times, leprosy. Leprosy was an awful thing because it was contagious, and it required in ancient Israel for a leper to be quarantined. That's not new. Outside the camp, outside of all the 12 tribes, they had to be on the outskirts of where Israel dwelt. And they could not have contact with family or friend. They couldn't even go to their relatives and have fellowship with them. They were a leper. They were ostracized. They were taken out of society, so to speak. And the only fellowship they could have with somebody was with somebody else that was a leper, as they were. But I find that God is faithful to heal. And Jesus touched people that no one else would touch. And you were, under Mosaic law, you were required not to touch a leper. But Jesus would go and touch lepers and heal them of their leprosy. As shows you how merciful and wonderful God is, He who heals all of your diseases. And Jesus restored people. As a matter of fact, Jesus would tell the leper, He said, "Don't tell anybody that I've healed you. You go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that's required for when you're healed of your leprosy." Because there's no record that anybody ever successfully was healed of leprosy and went before the priest and offered that sacrifice required by the law. But Jesus healed people, and Jesus healed lepers, and Jesus was not too good to touch people like the leper. And God is not too good to touch even me and you. God cares for us. God is faithful to heal us, amen, of whatever sins, diseases may come along, or whatever natural diseases may come along. God is able to heal. And there's healing in the work of Christ on the cross. You know, you've heard me quote it many times. I'll quote it again. I don't think you can quote it too much. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. And there's healing in the work of Christ on the cross. And even before that, in the Old Testament, God promised Moses and Israel that He would keep them from all the diseases of the Egyptians that were upon them. And in Exodus 15:26, God said to Israel, He says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases which I have brought on the Egyptians." And He reveals Himself with the name of God here, Jehovah Rapha, Rophika. "I am the Lord who heals you." That's who God is. And we know in the New Testament, Matthew 8:17, it says, "When evening had come, they brought to Him," Jesus, "many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.'" And so God is faithful to heal. Amen. And we still pray for the sick and pray for healing. And you say, "Well, what about the people that didn't get healed?" Let me tell you something. I can't answer every question, but God can. And I do know this. If people die sick, they can still go to heaven and never have a sickness again. You can't die with sin in your life and go to heaven. But if you die sick, that doesn't mean you're going to hell. God will heal you completely because the price has been paid for all eternity for you to be well and to be healed. Amen. And there's more than that. There is an emotional healing that needs to take place many times in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification." That means building up or encouraging. "That it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now let's notice some of the spiritual things that we need to be healed of here. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I want to tell you something. There's some things that happen in your life that it takes God to heal you of. Anybody ever been bitter? Amen. Not asking for a raise of hands. Wrath, anger. I mean, when's the last time you've been not just ticked off at somebody, but I mean you were red-faced, eye-popping, foot-stomping mad? You see, God can heal you that. And I've been angry before. I've been angry more than once before. I don't ever intend to be angry again, but I know I need God's help because, you know, apart from the grace of God, it will be. But I want to tell you, God is able to heal us of these spiritual things, amen, or these natural things that come upon emotional things, anger, bitterness, wrath, evil speaking, all these type of things come upon us, and we need God's help. I need the healing power of God with us continually. Not just once, one time in our life, but we need the healing power of God continually. God is faithful to heal when we call upon Him. And to give us peace. You can't have peace in your heart if you've got bitterness, anger, and wrath in you. You can't have God's peace. But I want you to know that Jesus paid on the cross so that we could have peace in our mind and our heart. Colossians 1:20 says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him, Christ, all the fullness of God should dwell. For by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." Amen. Peace through the blood of His cross. Jesus did it all on Calvary. He gave peace through the blood of His cross. Amen. Cross had to be anything but peaceful. But there Jesus paid the price so when you and I could have peace with Him, be at peace with God, and we could have forgiveness of sins and know that God has forgiven us. Praise the Lord. So God is faithful to heal as well. And God will... Healing will last throughout eternity. Because in the future, there will be no curse, no death, and no sickness. Revelation 22:3, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face." Hallelujah. See His face. "And His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need neither lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." My friend, that's good news. That's wonderful news. We're going to be with God forever. Praise the Lord. And so God's faithful to heal us of whatever this world may put upon us or whatever we may walk through in this life. God is faithful to heal. Last of all, God is faithful to restore. If we look back at our text, He heals all of our diseases. In verse 4, He says, 103 and 4 of Psalms, "He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." God is faithful to restore. He redeems your life from destruction. Because you see, the enemy of our soul would like to just destroy us. John 10:10, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." That is all the devil has in purpose and has in mind for you and me. That's not very good, is it? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil hates you. He hates me. He hates all humanity. He hates us because we are created in the likeness and image of God and because there's a plan of redemption for us. There's many reasons, but he hates us. But God loves us. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Amen. Life and life more abundantly. He redeems your life from destruction. Amen. Your life may have been destroyed in the time past when you weren't living for God and you didn't think anything could fix it, but God did and God restored you. There's been people that have backslidden and years later come to the Lord and God restores that relationship with them. I'm glad that God still restores. Praise the Lord. And so redeems your life from destruction. We know the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life." Amen. Not death, but life. And the heaven that we're headed for is all about life. In heaven, there's a tree of life. There's a river of life. There's a book of life. There's only life in heaven. There is no disease, sickness, infirmity of any kind. There's no COVID-19 in heaven. Praise the Lord. That ought to make somebody shout. Amen. But God is faithful to restore because we are a purchased people of God. We're not God's special people just because we're better than somebody else, and there's no reason to swell with pride, but the Bible does tell us, 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. God called you out and restores you to fellowship with Him into His marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Because you see, sin would have been destructive, eternally destructive, had it not been for Jesus. And in the physical, how many times have we come close to destruction, and yet God spared us, both in the natural and in the spiritual? You know, you meet a car coming down the highway 70 miles an hour toward you, and you're 70 miles an hour toward the other way. Common sense is going to tell you if you collide, it ain't going to be pretty. But we don't know how many times God has spared us when we didn't even know it. You don't know what that person coming this way is on, or has been on, or is going to be on, or is full of. But God, no doubt, has spared our life countless times that we don't even think about. But He redeems our life from destruction. And there's biblical examples. King David here, the author of the Psalm, you know, he wasn't ready to face a lion and a bear that come against his sheep when he was a kid. But God gave him strength, and God put supernatural power upon David to be able to kill a bear and a lion. And furthermore, David faced a giant named Goliath, who was about 9 foot tall, and David was just a kid. And Goliath had been a man of war from his youth, and here David was just a youth, and didn't have anything but a slingshot and 5 stones. But God used that, and God showed David that He was greater than all of his enemies, greater than any giant he would face, and God's still greater than any giant you will face. And David could say in Psalms 23:5, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God restores people. Amen. And it says here, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And like the eagle, God's power allows us to rise above all the hindrances and continue our relationship with our Redeemer. Amen. When trials come along, there's a way you can look at it. I can either face this alone, or I can get on my knees and pray and seek the face of God, and God will walk me through it. You don't want to go through it alone. You don't have to go through it alone. Yet somebody's greater, more powerful, bigger than you are to help you along. Amen. When you're weak, God isn't weak. Amen. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, not lose heart, not give up. Amen. And so let's just learn to live for God and walk with God and know that God is faithful to forgive, to heal, and He's faithful to restore. And He's faithful to do anything else that you need. God is faithful. In conclusion, God is faithful regardless of what our nation may faces. God is faithful to people that are persecuted. And we may see persecution stronger than ever before here in the U.S. But whether it's persecution, trial, calamity, or when there is violence and fear on every side, we look to God because God is with us always. And God will protect us, God will keep us, God will help us. He has never failed. He's not going to start failing today. He's been faithful. He is faithful. That's who He is. God is faithful. Amen. There's scripture that says that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Praise the Lord.